welcome to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone with Whitney and John. Hope everyone is having a wonderful week.
Yeah, I'm John Jackson. I am the Associate Director at University Recreation here on the campus of the University of Alabama. And we're here for our second show back again. Able to spend a little time talking with you guys last week about being more physically active and how to live a healthier lifestyle. Spend a little time talking about goal setting and what not to do and what to do. So did you learn anything last week, Whitney?
Yes, I learned a lot about goal setting. I also learned that Tuscaloosa weather can be very unpredictable, which I'll just put that in there. That may kind of mess up your goals that you may have. If you decide that you want to start running or walking outside, you may need to find some other options for that. Maybe finding an indoor facility, maybe rec center, maybe another place on campus or town.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, and one that we actually didn't address last week. But when it comes to looking at a fitness program for yourself, one of those things that you have to be able to decide is, are you going to be able to get outside to do it, or your environment of doing it? And so that's a topic that I'm sure that we'll get into a lot more in some of our shows in the future. But that is a very good question, because you start looking at weather, you start looking at whether or not you like to exercise around different people and things like that, and that could play a big role in the type of goal that you actually set.
And then choosing maybe what type of exercise you want to do, because we talked about setting goals and doing more exercise and how can I be more healthy starting the new year or the new semester. But we didn't really talk a lot about types of exercise that you can do. Today, we're gonna kind of focus on that. Different types of strength and cardio training and what may work for you. We've had some questions come up about a specific type of program, CrossFit. I think we've all heard of it. Just kind of breaking down what it is and maybe where it falls into the fitness scheme of things.
Yeah, there are so many different strategies you can take, and when we start talking about goal setting and what you want to accomplish and how you want to accomplish those things, the type of exercise that you do is very important in helping you accomplish your goals. And so what we're going to talk about some today, you did mention CrossFit, and it is a very popular nationally program that a lot of people do. And what we want to talk about today some is how it fits into the big overall picture. But we are going to spend a little time also talking about the different strategies that are out there that can help you accomplish those goals that you might have.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times people see a certain type of fitness program, whether it's CrossFit or just cardio program or something else, something that's on TV, and they just don't have a lot of information about it. So that's what we're going to try to do, is just kind of break it down, what it actually is. Should you be doing it if you decide to do it? Thinking about some things personally about yourself when starting a new exercise program. So I think we have a really good show. We have guests we'll bring on later. I know Sheena's got some nutrition tips. She always seems to keep us in the loop. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Sheena has some very good nutrition tips. We were talking a little bit earlier, and I think what she is going to talk about will tie in nicely with workout strategies and how that sort of thing fits in.
Yeah. Cool. So hopefully in the next hour that you're with us, maybe get your little notebook, take some notes, wouldn't hurt. try to figure out, you know, what works for you. Maybe CrossFit is your thing. Maybe it's not. Again, just bringing a little insight into what CrossFit, this nationally, maybe worldwide, I'm not really sure, but this kind of new, in a way, new phenomenon that's, you know, a competition as well. So if you're that type of person that likes a little extra competition, this might be something for you. My name is Whitney, and this is John, and we are with 90.7 The Capstone. This is Fit to Be Tied, and we will see you soon.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome Welcome back to Fit to be Tied on 90.7 at Capstone. You are with Whitney and John, and we are talking about fitness, which is what we do well, and we do all the time. And so this week, we're talking about CrossFit.
I like the confidence, too. This is what we do well. We wanted to kind of we'll just jump in and start talking about some of these things, some of these topics, and get to CrossFit in just a few minutes. But before we do that, just kind of to set the stage for what CrossFit is and how it fits into the overall equation of working out. You need to kind of have an understanding of the different workout strategies that are out there, and depending on who you talk to, you might get different answers. This is just my way of categorizing these things. But, if you want to just think about the traditional way of working out, and for lack of a better word, just a traditional workout would include the main components that we always talk about. We want to address muscular strength and endurance. We want to address cardiovascular endurance, and we want to address flexibility. Obviously, body composition is a component to that as well. So when we talk about traditional training, we kind of think about those things separately. When we look at those, Whitney, what would you say out of those three things, if somebody is designing a workout program for themselves, which of those three are they most likely to neglect?
Probably flexibility.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
If I had to guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's one that is often overlooked, and once we start talking about CrossFit here in a few minutes, we'll see how one of the advantages of doing CrossFit-type activities does involve some dynamic flexibility. So one of the advantages of that. But, if you look at traditional type exercises as a traditional workout strategy as having those three things individually, you can take the approach of what we call a circuit workout, where you move from one piece of strength training equipment to another piece of strength training equipment rather quickly in succession. When you do that, you're maybe working on some muscular strength, maybe some muscular endurance, kind of quickly. You might get your heart rate up, get some cardio respiratory endurance involved in that as well. If you think of circuit training as a type of training in and of itself, another type of training, some people call it interval training. I like to refer to it as circuit / interval training, mm-hmm. and the way I look at it. And that's kind of a combination of maybe you do a strength training move followed immediately by a cardiovascular move for a certain amount of time, and you alternate back and forth between the two. When you guys have classes that are designed mm-hmm. in that fashion, don't
we
you?
Do. We have a couple. We have 50-minute class boot camp, which is kind of the instructor's own variety or take on it, which does incorporate the high intensity cardio intervals, and then some strength training, and then of course ending in flexibility. And then we have the HIIT class, high intensity interval training. It's our take on a quick 30-minute high intensity class, bouts of exercise, and then a rest break, and then you go back into it.
And you stole my thunder with that last one. The HIIT being the high intensity interval training.
Yeah.
If looking at the at workout strategies categorized that way, mm-hmm. I had HIIT listed kind of as that last category, and that would be something that I don't think I'm stepping out too far to say that CrossFit would fall under that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to bring in our guest here shortly, who is an expert on CrossFit, knows a lot about it, and can bring us some more knowledge mm-hmm. to this topic. But one other thing that I want to talk about real briefly before we go into that, if you think about that as the different workout strategies and being able to pick and choose from those, you don't necessarily have to go all with all or nothing. It mm-hmm. doesn't have to be all traditional
right.
training. It doesn't have to be all circuit training.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recommend people actually kind of change those up and not do the same thing?
Definitely. I say the more you can change it up and kind of cross train and do lots of other activities, that's the best way to do it, in my opinion. I mean, some people would probably differ, but I think the more you can expose yourself to different forms of exercise, the more balanced you'll be overall. You don't get stuck doing the same thing all the time, which does get boring,
right?
In my opinion. I like
right.
to change it up a lot. So, yeah, I think definitely change it up.
Yeah. And kind of tying this in with what we were talking about last week with goals, you know, a lot of people have specific goals that relate to either cardiovascular endurance or that might relate to strength or muscular endurance or might even relate to flexibility. A lot of people have goals related to body composition, which we spend a lot of time talking
about. That's the main one,
about.
I would think. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the side effect of doing all of the other ones properly when you add nutrition in as well. But we have a guest on that's going to help us talk about CrossFit today, and he's a guy that Whitney, both you and I have worked closely with over the years. Mr. Jason Casey is here with us today, and he is over our personal training program and fitness testing at University Recreation, and he's actually as close to finishing his doctorate as you can possibly be without being finished, right, Jason?
Absolutely. I'm approaching that stage of kind of rolling up and completing the PhD, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what we wanted to talk with Jason about today, and we wanted to ask him some questions because he is an expert in all things fitness when it comes to traditional training, when it comes to circuit training, when it comes to interval circuit training, when it comes to high intensity interval training.
I don't know about group exercise though.
Maybe not group
maybe
exercise.
Not the dance specifically. May not be my specialty.
But what I thought we would do is kind of let Jason, in the context of those things that we just talked about, all of those different types of workout strategies, where would you say that CrossFit falls within that spectrum?
CrossFit essentially it's going to be more of a high intensity interval training approach, but it has components of all of those types of strategies. So it has components of traditional resistance training, has components of straight line cardiovascular training, as well as circuit training, high intensity interval training. So it's kind of a mixture of all of those approaches to fitness.
CrossFit is one of those things where, like a lot of different types of programs that come out, people are either all for it or all against it. It seems like they either love it or hate it. It's one of those things.
Yep.
And so you know, when you look at it within the context of an overall workout, you know, part of your overall workout strategy, and we're going to talk about in just a little bit about how it actually does benefit you. Throw a couple of questions at you real quickly.
Yeah.
And we know this from our fitness background. When we look at those principles of fitness, whether we're talking about the overload principle, the principle of specificity or individual differences, those types of things, where would you say that CrossFit, how does it utilize those components?
Because CrossFit kind of promotes itself as being the fitness program that kind of develops work capacity over broad time components and modalities. So in terms of specificity, if you're going to CrossFit as a group class and utilizing it as your training program, it's not going to be extremely specific to any one individual in the class, although it can be modified in terms of what the gym or the trainers develop can be modified. So it can be a little more specific, it's a group class. It's going to be a little less specific for each person. And one of the drawbacks to CrossFit traditionally that I see is that in terms of progressive overload, oftentimes because it's somewhat randomized workouts, that if you don't have a trainer that is really knowledgeable in exercise science, it can lack in progressive overload. So it can be that the intensity is high all the time and there's never really a pullback day or a download day. So that you allow systematic development of increases in intensity or volume over time. It's kind of a lot of times always high. So it's really important to pick a really quality gym and a quality trainer as well.
And Whitney, you guys have when you look at those types of classes, when you mention it as a class, that goes very similar hand in hand to the
definitely.
High intensity interval classes that you guys
it's
have.
It's kind of like with ours. We always teach to a certain level, and then we give those modifications. So, but yeah, I think that we're off to a good start talking about CrossFit, and we're pumped that you guys are listening. This is Fit to be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone, and we will be right back.
Young Love.
This is Paul Janeway of St. Paul and the Broken Bones, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Ah, restless.
back to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 FM. You are here with Whitney and John, and we have a special guest with us on for the next few minutes, Mr. Jason Casey, talking about CrossFit and high-intensity interval training and some of the things that go into that type of program. And Jason, before we went to the break, you were kind of starting to get into some of the advantages and disadvantages of using CrossFit. Before we get into that, let me ask you, though, when you look at different types of people that are out there, different people that are likely to come in and start an exercise program, what type of person, personality-wise, do you think is most likely to benefit from following CrossFit, high-intensity interval training, as a general workout strategy?
Personally, I think if we're talking about personality, CrossFit's really, I think it's good for anyone in terms of personality, in different terms of different personalities. Obviously, it's a group class, and part of the component of CrossFit is that it's really a community, and you're buying in as a group of individuals that have similar goals or similar backgrounds, or at least similar interests, and are all working towards improving their fitness. So that's some of the benefit of it, is that you develop that community, develop relationships with people, and it's not just going to the gym and training by yourself. You have kind of those relationships that you develop.
Well, one of the terms as people who work in exercise physiology, one of the terms that we hear a lot is muscle confusion. Especially when it comes to CrossFit, you hear that term thrown out there. Give us an explanation of what is muscle confusion and how is it beneficial?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Muscle confusion is really just the idea of that you're constantly varying your stimulus, your physical activity stimulus, so that your body never really adapts to one particular stress. We know that if you go to the gym and you apply the same stress, you apply the same type of physical activity or the same volume or intensity of your physical activity, your body's going to adapt to that, and then you're not going to progress physically at some point. So the idea of CrossFit and other programs like P90X is that it's constantly introducing a different stimulus essentially every day, so that you're always adapting and you're never becoming stagnant in your ability to adapt to that stress.
So when you talk about that, and you mentioned earlier kind of the implementation of the overload principle as it relates to that, we know that any type of program, if you do the same thing over and over again, in terms of a program or general strategy to exercise, you are going to grow stagnant in your results. So what would you say would be some disadvantages? If you were to go CrossFit and sell out completely to doing CrossFit workouts all the time, are there some disadvantages to doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think some of them can be, obviously there's a proposed idea of that there's an increased injury risk from CrossFit, and I think that's mainly from people who are untrained or undertrained and come into CrossFit and introduce a lot of volume or intensity quickly and a lot of new movements they're not used to doing too quickly. But that can happen with any type of physical activity. It's just, I think it's more kind of well-known or thought of with CrossFit. So that would be a disadvantage I could see if you don't have a well-educated trainer. Some other things, I know you just spoke about progressive overload and constantly kind of systematically increasing intensity or volume. With CrossFit, having that high volume, high intensity constantly, that could lead to some type of excessive fatigue or injury itself. So again, you've got to be smart in the way that you introduce the volume, that you introduce the intensity and the new movements, so that you do have a systematic approach in the way that you the way that you introduce those aspects, so that you can develop in a healthy way.
You talk about a lot of different moves. I was actually driving through downtown Tuscaloosa the other day, and I saw about 8 people running around with medicine balls on their shoulders. And so that's not something you see when you talk about your regular traditional workout,
right?
As they were sprinting through downtown Tuscaloosa with those big medicine balls on their shoulders.
Right, but, no, absolutely not.
Yeah. But going back to that, those are some disadvantages, and we would fall into those types of disadvantages if we were to do any type of workout strategy over a long period of time. advantages. What do you like about CrossFit? You've obviously done a lot. You've worked with a lot of the athletic teams. What benefits do you see that people get from using this type of high intensity interval training?
Yeah, I think there's two different ways to look at it. There's CrossFit as a sport and people who utilize it as a sport or as a training method for a various whatever type of sport they may participate in, and then also just your general population that uses it as its primary training modality. So for the athlete, I think it introduces constantly introducing cardiovascular training while they're also introducing strength and conditioning or strength training in general. I think that a lot of research shows that the individuals who do that, who introduce high intensity cardiovascular training, are able to recover a lot quicker so that during their sport they're able to perform at a higher level. For the individual who's just using it as its primary training modality, I think, as I kind of mentioned earlier, the community aspect is really important, and that's kind of part of the CrossFit system, is that you buy in as a community, almost like you would if you're on a college team or a high school athletics team. You buy in as a team, you buy in as a group of people who have a common goal, and you're working toward that. So that's one of the big benefits. The other is that some of the downside that we spoke about of it not having a progressive overload, but it's kind of the positive of that is that you're always getting to experience a new activity. So every day you come in and you're not doing the same type of activity every single day. You're coming in, you're experiencing new things. The trainer has an approach that you're going to follow for that day, and it's going to be different than when you come in the next day into the gym. So I see that as a benefit. And also, if you're looking to get a personal trainer or something along those lines, CrossFit provides that in a group setting. Obviously, you have a trainer in every single class that has programmed the workout for you, and you don't necessarily have to think about what you're going to do with your training program. Right.
And you guys offer, or we offer, some of those types of classes, yeah, with personal trainers at the rec center. Whitney, have you seen with those types of classes, those high intensity interval classes, have you seen a big rise in the popularity of those as CrossFit has gained in popularity over the last few years?
I honestly think our HIIT classes have gotten popular because they're short. So people know that they can come in and work out for 30 minutes and they're done, and they're going to work as hard as they possibly can, kind of like CrossFit, because your workouts aren't going to be hour-long workouts. They may be 15 minutes or, you know, even shorter. So I think people like that aspect, because we were talking about last week with goals, maybe finding something that you can fit into your workout, your day. And I was also thinking about it too. I've never done CrossFit. I'm scared too, but I stick to yoga. That's what I like. But competition-wise, is there that competitive, like if I like being competitive, would you say that's what I should go to, kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. CrossFit, like I said, CrossFit is a sport as well as a training modality. So in terms of the sport of CrossFit, we can watch it on ESPN. It usually comes on in the summer. But there's also three stages to the CrossFit game. So there's the Open, the CrossFit Open, CrossFit Regionals, and the CrossFit Games. And last year during the CrossFit Open, for instance, there were over 272,000 participants throughout the world that did the Open. And the Open is essentially a five-week training time where it's the entry-level stage to the CrossFit Games. You do it in your local CrossFit gym or your home if you have that set up. And basically you submit a video every week. CrossFit releases a workout every week. You perform that, submit a video, and are judged by CrossFit headquarters. So it's an opportunity to compete, to measure yourself, to evaluate yourself where you're at, and compete against people around the world.
Very cool. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing us all of that. A lot of good information there. A lot of good take home information. And if you don't mind hanging around with us for a little bit, we have a frequently asked question section at the end. We have a question about CrossFit that we'd like to throw at you as we're closing the show out later on. Yeah,
absolutely. That'd be great.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jason, and we'll be talking with Jason a little bit later towards the end of the show. Again, this is Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone, and we will catch you after the break.
You're listening to the voice of the University of Alabama, 90.7 The Capstone.
90.7.
Well,
welcome to 90.7 The Capstone. This is Sheena Gregg, and this is Sheena Soundbites. You probably are noticing that this is not Whitney or John, even though this is their show, but I get this little segment of time to talk about nutrition and, you know, to be honest, just listening to the program earlier about CrossFit, I feel so enlightened, so I'm appreciative of us being able to have Jason on today. I have a little brother that does CrossFit, so now I feel like at the next family get-together, I can sound a little bit more savvy about it, and he can be proud of his big sister dietitian. But, you know, kind of thinking about the conversation about different types of workouts that are available, whether you're doing something more strength training-based or cardio-based or a combination of both, I think it's so important to really tie in the fact that your nutrition plan is going to look different depending on what your fitness goals are and how you're going about that training. And if you had the opportunity to listen to us last week, I had one of my fabulous interns, Tom McGinnis, who's also a personal trainer and is training to become a registered dietitian himself. And I brought him on the show again today, really just talking about some pre-workout nutrition, as well as that really important recovery plan when we go on with things. And so, Tom, I'd love to kind of hear your thoughts and maybe some things that you've shared with clients in the past.
Well, one, thank you for having me back. I'm really stoked to be on this week again. And knowing that I was going to be talking about this, I decided to conduct a little self-experiment. Typically, I eat very regimented. It's a very strict regimen of diet on a daily basis. My workout is pretty strict and regimented as well. It's about an hour and a half or 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. And so I know how I typically feel going into a workout, and I know what results to expect during that workout and after the fact. So yesterday, I totally changed everything. I ate like crap. I didn't sleep well the night before. I did all that on purpose just to see how it would feel during my workout that day. And I cannot tell you how much different the workout was. Not eating properly or the way that I'm used to eating. I was sluggish. I didn't have the same level of strength. I didn't have the same level of endurance. And it just wasn't a very good workout. I grinded through until I finished it, but I was not satisfied with it. And after that, mentally, I was exhausted, not just because of how tired I was during my workout, but I was self-defeated that I spent all that time in there and didn't feel like that I got out of it what I typically expect to get out of it. So pre- and post-workout nutrition is really important with regards to trying to attain the results that you're hoping to get.
You know, I agree, and I think you bring up some great points, and I appreciate the fact that you kind of did that self-experiment just so that you could really experience that firsthand. And when students come into my office, especially with a lot of my students that may not necessarily have goals related to weight management, but really just wanting to have a nutrition plan that complements their fitness goals, it's so important to talk to them about pre- and post-workout nutrition. And usually students, they like to push the protein. They think that's the only thing that they really need. Carbs kind of go to the wayside. And so one of the myths that I really like to dispel at times is, especially when we're talking specifically about pre-workout nutrition, you've got to be strategic with that in terms of the timing of that pre-workout meal or snack, as well as what's comprised of that. Because carbs are the body's preferred fuel source, the body can utilize those pretty efficiently to go ahead and utilize that energy immediately for your workout. You want to avoid a pre-workout snack or meal that's going to be overly high in protein or fat, specifically if you're going to do something cardio-based, because it takes longer for protein and fat to be digested. So what's going to happen when you're going into a workout or a competition or even a performance, all of your blood flow is going to be trying to go to the gut, trying to digest all of that stuff when you really want that blood flow going to the arms and legs to be able to fine-tune those movements that you're really trying to do. So it's really important to be able to do that. And so when you think about the carb-specific types of pre-workout nutrition that's available, if you want to go something liquid-based closer to the time of your workout, any kind of sports drink with electrolytes and some glucose in there is going to be a great choice. You know, if it's a little further out, whether it's 30 minutes, an hour, or even several hours, something like a banana, as well as starting off your day with a great breakfast of some oatmeal with some nice soluble fiber in there that just kind of starts your system ready. And so kind of when you think about pre-workout snacks, Tom, what kind of things have you recommended to clients in the past?
Well, I think a lot of it is specific to the individual situation. For example, if you are the person who works out first thing in the morning and you just came off a long fast from sleeping, your energy needs are going to be a little bit different pre-workout than somebody who works out in the evening and has likely had 3, 4, maybe even 5 meals already prior to working out. So that's the first thing that I would talk to somebody about is, you know, what time of the day are you eating and how much have you eaten prior to coming to work out? And then you'll sort of start to develop a nutrition plan for them based off of that. And the other thing is there's a lot of individual considerations. I've had a lot of clients who cannot eat before working out. They can't eat 30 minutes or an hour because they get sick. They vomit during or after the workout. They just, their stomach can't handle it. So then, you know, you got to do something specific for them, or maybe you eat 2 hours out before working out. But you're right on not eliminating the carbs. I think that's a big misconception. You definitely want to go with a simple carbohydrate as opposed to a complex one. And I don't mean eating a Snickers bar instead of a banana. You get simple carbs from your fruit, and that's a good way to go. Or a fruit smoothie that has some whey protein in it. You did mention that you don't want to go too heavy on the protein, which is correct, because you really want to increase gastric emptying as much as possible so you can get those nutrients and that energy to your muscles while you're working out. But you can do a faster digesting protein, such as whey protein, which will get to the bloodstream a lot faster than, say, a chicken breast or something like that.
I agree. I think, you know, when we talk about some of the convenient proteins that are out there, they're definitely made to be strategic for workouts. And so when you start thinking about the timing of people's workouts, you know, I have so many patients that say that they're really not hungry for breakfast in the morning. And if they want to do that early morning workout, you want to think about what your appetite is like that morning, because a lot of times it's affected by how late we ate the night before. Because if I have a patient that, you know, they roll up to, you know, Taco Bell or somewhere else at 2 a.m., I'm not going to be expectant that they're going to be ready for breakfast at 7 a.m. the next morning just because they had such a late meal. So I think when you're thinking about creating that exercise plan and your nutrition formed around it, it's going to be important to really think about even what your nutrition looked like the night before. And so when you start transitioning to the end of the workout and you think about recovery nutrition, that's where you really want to hone in on getting that combination of protein and carbohydrate together. Most folks you're going to talk to, whether they are in the fitness family or nutrition family, are really going to hone in on the fact that you want to get that recovery nutrition within about 30 minutes of that workout. You want to make sure that you're getting some adequate protein, anywhere between 10 to 20 grams, but you want to make sure you're getting some carbohydrate in there as well to replenish those stores. And you've got to remember that carbs are really, they're kind of the wingman to protein. They're going to help your body absorb that protein a lot better. It's there to really just make it more of a synergistic effect. And so, you know, Tom, even just thinking about that with some, you know, high energy recovery foods, what are some things that you like to recommend for yourself or other folks?
Well, smoothies are quick and they're easy, and most gyms have one. So you can grab one of those as you're heading out the door, and that's one way to get it definitely within that 30-minute time frame. But if you can't do something like that, there are a lot of good protein bars, things that you can eat on the go that can get the job done. If you're at home, you can pre-plan your post-workout meal so it's there and ready for you to eat when you get there. So some sort of pasta salad with tuna fish or something like that, where you're getting a good quick carbohydrate and a fairly easily digestible protein, is a good idea. Things like that are the things that I would typically recommend. But it's really important to eat during that 30 to 60 minute window after you work out. And protein wise, you want to hit somewhere between 1.2 and 1.7 grams per kilogram of body weight to ensure that your muscles get the protein it needs to rebuild.
No, I think that's great. I think some of those examples that you gave are really practical. And, you know, just kind of wrapping things up, when we think about pre and post-workout nutrition, I really like to focus with my patients on that 1-2-3 approach to recovery. And that's going to be focusing on fluids, carbs, and protein. And, you know, we talk so much about the carbs and protein, but you don't want to forget the fluids. For any time that you're sweating a lot during that component, you want to make sure that you're drinking enough water that's in there. So start that day out with a lot of hydration throughout the day. And of course, those sports drinks are going to help with that. But we are going to wrap up this segment. And we thank you for listening to Sheena's Soundbites. And this is 90.7 The Capstone. And Whitney and John will catch you after the break.
I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
And we are back on 90.7, The Capstone, Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John. And we have been talking about CrossFit this whole hour, and hopefully we've shed some light on CrossFit. Maybe you want to do it now. Maybe you don't.
But as promised, we brought back Jason to answer a couple of the frequently asked questions that we receive. And I'll have to be honest with you, when I first went on the CrossFit website, it's been several years ago, I was looking at it and trying to figure out exactly what it was. And one of the terms that I came across was WOD. You see that on the website. It's one of the more prominent features. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, so WOD stands for WOD, and that really means workout of the day. And so if you go on the CrossFit's website, that's essentially CrossFit puts out a workout every single day, and it's meant for individuals who follow CrossFit to do, in addition to the local gyms also develop their own workout. And those are called WOD and workout of the day as well. They're usually named after women, and originally it started out being named after individuals who were important into a man's life named Greg Glassman, who created CrossFit. And as CrossFit's expanded, it's become women who were important in other people's lives who work for CrossFit headquarters as well. And then there's also another type of workout called a hero workout, and those workouts are named after individuals who have passed away, either participating in military or police officer or firefighter type of activities.
So one of the things that you mentioned earlier, and it's a question that we frequently get as personal trainers, is, you know, how do I incorporate these different components into a workout plan for myself? If we were to ask you, Jason, how would you, doing what all is involved in CrossFit, we know we have a lot of good local CrossFit facilities in this area, in the Tuscaloosa and Northport area, and if you do sell out to completely doing CrossFit, you know, that's great that we do have those facilities around here. But how would you say, if you're not a member of a facility like that and you wanted to, you know, do the workout of the day, that sort of thing, how would you incorporate CrossFit into your overall plan?
Yeah, and that's what I do. So I follow mainly a resistance training program, and I incorporate high-intensity interval training and CrossFit-type activities into my workout. So an easy way to do it is to go on CrossFit's website, and then you can actually find a workout of the day that CrossFit prescribes. You can follow that. It can be modified, so be smart when you're doing this type of activity and understand your personal limitations. But I would incorporate it 2-3 times a week into my regular workout routine. Most CrossFit workouts are going to be somewhere between 5 minutes and 20 minutes long, so relatively short. You can use it as kind of your cardiovascular type training, even though you may be utilizing some resistance training or cardiovascular type activities all in one workout. I would think of it more along those lines. And then also you could continue to incorporate your regular resistance training or flexibility type training that you would typically do.
Great. Well, that's a lot of good information packed into a short amount of time, and thank you for answering those questions. Yep. For us. And switching gears a little bit, Whitney, one of the topics that we're going to be talking about in the near future is stress and how exercise and stress fit together. And you probably see a lot of that with over 100 classes a week that you have. Are you able to see benefits of exercise as it relates to stress? Do you see stress as... It's almost a double-edged sword if you look at it for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Exercise can be stressful for some people. Some people don't like to exercise, mm-hmm. but there are so many benefits from exercising as it relates to stress. But can you see that over the course of the semester?
I can. I think when you look at the classes that we offer, anything from, you know, the high intensity cardio and strength to mind body classes, which is what we'll talk about kind of later on, about the stress management of doing a mind body class like yoga and Pilates, what that is. I think that we do see some success from that. I think most of the time students will come to with a friend to the class together, and that kind of creates that outlet from maybe studying for schoolwork and things like that. So I think, like you said, some people don't like to exercise, some people don't like to work out, and that might not be their stress release. And some really like to do it, and some just do it for fun, like come take a dance class with a couple of my friends. And sometimes we'll get groups of people, even, you know, a bunch of guys come into a dance class because it's fun and they just want to have a good time together. So yeah, I think definitely, I think it's, people laugh at each other, they have a good time. We don't take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah. Well, would you say that your numbers, as you go across the semester, do they coincide with the more stressful times of year for a student?
Definitely. I think around midterms, we see more participation in specifically our yoga classes because they need that time to themselves to collect their thoughts, clear their minds. Then we'll see it kind of go down a little bit. And then as the end of the year approaches, we'll see brand new faces. They will have researched, you know, things maybe to de-stress, and they'll see exercise as one of them, and they will come to our classes, which is great. And we love it.
Right. Well, we know that the research that's out there shows that to a certain point, the more people exercise, the more physically active they are, the more they're going to feel less stressed,
right.
More in control of their lives and what's going on around them. So we know there are a lot of positives to managing stress as it relates to exercise, and we'll get into a lot more of that when we actually hit that topic. But I did want to throw one other question out there at you. When you look at the different types of classes that you guys offer, mm-hmm. Are there classes that you have that are almost directly targeting stress?
I would say so, for sure. Like I mentioned earlier, yoga. And yoga is something that we'll talk about later on. It can be done anywhere, anytime. And yoga primarily focuses on breathing techniques and a sense of mind-body connection, so you're aware of what you're doing in physical space. So I think, yeah, we spend a lot of time as instructors when we get towards exams and finals. We know the students are coming to us in these classes, and we want to provide them that stress relief. We want to give them education and tools that they can take and do it their own apartment, their own house. So, yeah, definitely yoga.
Yeah,
see a lot of that.
And when I mentioned earlier, I didn't want to leave that impression that exercise could actually be. We do know that exercise can be stressful for some people that don't like to exercise. But I don't want to walk away with the impression that it has to be that way for any individual.
No, and I think it goes back to what we talked about last week with goals and figuring out what you like to do. Exercise is anything, walking around outside, putting on some music in your room, dancing. I mean, it just being physically active and moving around, getting up from your desk, doing a few stretches on the floor. It helps to take away that stress. So, yeah, I don't think, you know, you just have to pick what you like.
Yeah, and that's the key. You finding something that you do like, whether it's by yourself with a small group of people, with a large group of people, whether it's inside or outside. There's so many variables, but that stress component doesn't have to be there. It doesn't have to be stressful. We want the exercise experience to be positive for people, mm-hmm. and it's just a matter of experimenting and finding what you like and turning it into an exercise program where you can overload your body and improve your fitness level by doing that.
And I think sometimes when we talk about exercise, working out, you say the word exercise or workout and some people just kind of cringe, like, I don't even want to go there. So if we just think about, you know, doing something that we enjoy, moving around, picking a good option, I think that would help maybe change the mindset of what we need to be doing. So, yeah, we've had a really good show today.
Yes, and special thanks to Jason and Sheena and Tom for being with us and providing some good, useful tips. And just as an FYI, for those of you guys that are hanging in there with us, we will be preempted next Sunday by the University of Alabama's gymnastics meet.
Roll Tide.
But we will be back the following Sunday at 2.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for listening in. This is Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone.